Welcome to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring the random prompts of Daniel Rosehill as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters. Join us for deep dives into AI, technology, and whatever other random thing Daniel finds fascinating today. Subscribe on Spotify or your favorite podcatcher. Now, today's episode.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Hey, Herman and Corin. So I think we have chatted before. We definitely have actually about workspace ergonomics. It's a topic that I've been meaning to kind of really get into for years, but I have the basis of an ergonomic setup, I would say, just not quite as ergonomic as I maybe would like it. I'd like to really have the full, you know, adjustable height table. What I have at the moment is a fairly decent ergonomic office chair, which I have to say, I got it this year after my IKEA chair broke. This is the, if I could point to anything I should have bought 10 years ago and, you know, forsaked all other purchases, it would be an ergonomic office chair. It takes about an hour to get used to, and then you can't believe how you didn't have, you sat in a regular chair before. Amazing. The other thing that I use is, I use multi-monitor setup with Visa mounts, and find those a big help too. The final thing that I've been working on is this idea of blue light filtering, that I tend to have a hard time getting to bed at, you know, at an appropriate time my whole life actually. And I really noticed that blue light plays a massive difference, or makes a massive difference. I picked up when I was last in the US, one of these blue light glasses on Amazon. Really, really ugly fit over, as goofy as they sound, even worse. My wife refuses to know me if I wear them out of the house. But I think they make a huge difference. I'm really convinced. Funnily enough, I think we talked about myopia in a previous podcast. I'm like -8. I'm very, very short-sighted. But after getting these, I was like, well, I should get a pair of, you know, prescription pair, because fit overs are super, super uncomfortable, goofy looking. And I couldn't find an optometrist who would sell me these amber things with my prescription. They all told me it was a scam. And I find myself in a very weird position. I'm not in the habit of trying to convince people to sell me things generally. You know, I try to lift a reasonable budget, but they would not budge. They all were determined that it was a total scam. So this was a dead end, and I'm sure I'll eventually figure out a way to get them. But the other thing that I was thinking besides blue light glasses is doing the filtering at the screen level. So I use on Android for many years, I use a blue light filter at the software level. I use one called Twilight on Linux, and I use it in all day mode. So it's constantly on. So my screens always look orange, which is occasionally a bit of a problem when you're doing stuff like color correction. For video editing, I need to turn it off. Otherwise, it's on. I have it on my phone. But the whole reason that blue light glasses appeal to me is because instead of configuring it at the device level on every single thing you own, it seems more sensible to me to just put on glasses. So Herman and Corin, I think the blue light plays a much bigger role than we realize in our welfare, because circadian rhythm is no small thing. I got to bed last night, you guys will be very proud of me, at 10:30 p.m. I was out by 11. And whenever I sleep at that kind of period and I wake up, you know, naturally at 7 or 8 a.m., I feel much more restored and just in sync. And it's a great feeling. So I think I want to get a decent pair of blue light glasses if I can find someone to sell them to me. But should I be working on the screens instead? You'll also find screens with blue light built in. And regarding computer use, of course, avoidance is also recommended. But to me, a good multi-pronged approach would be something like stop using your computer at a certain time, pop on your blue light glasses if you're sensitive, because there's also external light there, and get into sleep mode. What do you think about that routine? And can you give me a nightly ritual? And of course, little Ezra here says hello. Over to you guys, Herman and Corin.
All right, Herman, we have a really practical one today. Our housemate Daniel has been on a bit of a mission lately to optimize his workspace. He actually just got that new ergonomic chair he was talking about, the one that replaced his old broken IKEA one. And now he is tackling the final boss of office health, blue light.
Herman Poppleberry, ready to dive in. And yeah, I saw Daniel's new chair. It's a beast. But this blue light thing, this is where the science gets really, really messy. It is a classic case of marketing getting way ahead of the peer-reviewed research, which is probably why his optometrist gave him such a blunt answer.
Right. He mentioned his eye doctor basically called blue light glasses a scam. That is a pretty strong stance. But at the same time, Daniel says he feels a difference when he uses them, especially with his sleep latency. So, is it a placebo, or is the medical community just being overly cautious?
It's actually a bit of both. We have to separate two very different claims here. One is about eye strain and physical damage to the retina, and the other is about your circadian rhythm, your internal clock. Most eye doctors call the glasses a scam because there is almost zero evidence that blue light from a monitor actually damages your eyes or causes what we call digital eye strain.
Wait, so the burning eyes and the headaches we get after 10 hours of coding, that isn't the blue light?
You really know. Research from the University of Melbourne and several other major institutions. Actually, a 2024 systematic review of multiple randomized controlled trials concluded that blue light filters made almost no difference for short-term eye strain. The discomfort usually comes from a reduced blink rate. When we stare at screens, we blink about 66% less often. Our eyes just get dry. It's a mechanical issue, not a light wavelength issue.
That makes sense. It's the staring part, not the blue part. But then why does Daniel feel like it helps him sleep? If the eye strain part is a myth, is the sleep part also a myth?
No, that part is actually very real. This is where the optometrist and the sleep scientist might disagree. Your eyes had these specific cells called intrinsically photosensitive retinal ganglion cells. I know, it's a mouthful. We just call them IPRGCs. These cells aren't for seeing shapes or colors. They are basically light sensors that tell your brain what time of day it is. And they are incredibly sensitive to short wavelength blue light, specifically around the 480 nanometer mark.
So when those cells see blue light, they tell the brain it's high noon, even if it's 11 p.m. in Jerusalem, and we're just finishing a movie.
Exactly. It suppresses melatonin production, so Daniel isn't imagining things. If he's filtering out that blue light in the evening, he's allowing his brain to start the natural wind down process. The scam. Part of the glasses usually refers to the cheap, clear lenses that claim to block blue light but only filter out maybe 5 to 10%. To actually impact your sleep, you usually need those deep amber or orange tinted glasses that Daniel described as goofy looking.
Yeah, he mentioned his wife won't let him leave the house in them, which, to be fair, I've seen them. They look like something a construction worker would wear on a highway at night. But here is the problem Daniel is facing. He's a creator. He's doing video editing and color correction. If he uses software filters like Flux or Twilight, everything turns orange. He can't tell the difference between a sunset and a color grading error.
That is the creator's paradox. You want to save your sleep, but you need color accuracy. Software filters are basically just a digital overlay. They are cutting out the blue channel entirely at the software level. But there is a better way now. Daniel asked about screens with built-in filters, and that is actually where the tech has made huge leaps in the last year or two.
You're talking about hardware-level filtering? How is that different from just turning on night mode in Windows or macOS?
It's a completely different mechanism. Software filters just shift the color balance, which makes everything look like it's been dipped in tea. Hardware solutions, like the ones certified under the EyeSafe Certified 3.0 standard, or the newer TUV, Rheinland EyeComfort 4.0 ratings, actually re-engineer the phosphor in the LED backlight.
Okay, explain that like I'm not an electrical engineer.
Sure. So, a standard LED screen has a huge spike of high-energy blue light around 450 nanometers. That is the light that's most disruptive to sleep and potentially most irritating. Hardware-certified screens shift that blue peak slightly to the right, toward 460 or 470 nanometers. It's still blue light, so your colors still look accurate, but it's a lower energy wavelength that doesn't trigger those IPRGC cells nearly as much.
So you get the color accuracy for video editing, but your brain isn't being blasted with high noon signals. That sounds like a much better solution for someone like Daniel. But is it enough? If he's working right up until he hits the pillow, does a hardware filter actually solve the sleep issue?
Honestly, probably not. Even with the best hardware filter, you're still looking at a bright, luminous object. Brightness itself is a signal to stay awake. This is where we get into the melanopic ratio metric that researchers have been using recently.
Melanopic ratio? I haven't heard that one.
It's a way to measure how much a light source affects your biological clock versus just how it looks to your eyes. The consensus now is that for a filter to actually improve your sleep duration, there was a study showing an average increase of about 24 minutes of sleep per night. You need a high melanopic ratio. Most clear glasses don't even hit a 1 on that scale. The amber ones do. But more importantly, the ritual matters more than the gear.
That's what I wanted to get to. Daniel asked for a nightly ritual. Because even if he has the best monitor in the world, if he's editing high-intensity footage until midnight, his brain is going to be wired. We've talked about ergonomics before, like in a previous episode when we discussed version control for solo creators, and how important it is to have a shutdown process for your work. I think that applies to our biology too.
It absolutely does. The brain isn't a light switch. It's more like a heavy freighter. You can't just cut the engines and expect it to stop immediately. You need a digital sunset.
I love that term. So, what does a digital sunset look like for a guy like Daniel, who lives in a house with two brothers who are constantly talking about tech?
Well, we should probably start by not talking his ear off at 11 p.m. But seriously, a popular guideline in 2026 is the 10-3-2-1-0 rule. Have you heard of this one?
I've heard variations. Break it down for us.
It's a countdown. 10 hours before bed, you cut off the caffeine. That's usually the hardest one for developers. 3 hours before bed, you stop eating heavy meals and cut the alcohol. 2 hours before bed, you stop working. That means no more Slack, no more emails, no more just one more edit.
And the one?
1 hour before bed is the digital sunset. No screens, period. Not even with blue light glasses. This is the hour where you let your brain's cortical arousal levels drop. If you're watching a fast-paced movie or scrolling through social media, the content itself is keeping you awake through dopamine and adrenaline, regardless of what color the light is.
That is such a crucial point. People blame the blue light, but they ignore the doom-scrolling or the intense editing stress. If Daniel is color-correcting a difficult scene, his brain is in problem-solving mode. That is the opposite of sleep mode.
Exactly. And the zero in that rule is for the morning, hit the snooze button 0 times. But for the nightly ritual specifically, I'd suggest Daniel tries a buffer hour. During that 1 hour of digital sunset, he should swap the screen for something analog. Read a physical book or an e-ink reader with the backlight turned way down, take a warm bath, or even just do some light stretching.
I've actually started doing something similar. I bought one of those low-wattage amber bulbs for my bedside lamp. It feels very old-world, but it makes a massive difference. When you walk into a room that's lit by amber light instead of harsh overhead LEDs, you can almost feel your nervous system exhale.
That's the low-lumen environment. It signals to your pineal gland that the sun has gone down. If Daniel wants to be hardcore about it, he can use those goofy orange glasses during that buffer hour if he absolutely has to check his phone for a second, but the goal should be to not need them.
So, to recap for Daniel, the glasses aren't a scam for sleep, but they are often oversold for eye strain. If he wants to keep editing, he should look into a monitor with TUV EyeComfort 4.0 certification or EyeSafe Certified 3.0, because that will give him the hardware-level blue light shift without ruining his color work.
Right. And he should probably stop asking his optometrist about sleep and start asking about dry eye treatments instead. If his eyes feel tired, he might just need some high-quality, preservative-free artificial tears, or to remember the 20-20-20 rule, every 20 minutes, look at something 20 feet away for 20 seconds.
I remember we mentioned that back in a spatial audio episode, when we were talking about how the brain processes depth. It's all connected. Your eyes are part of your brain, and your brain needs a break.
It really does. And one last thing for the ritual, Daniel, if you're listening, try non-sleep deep rest or NSDR. It's a type of guided relaxation you can do in that final hour. It's basically a way to manually downshift your brain waves from beta, which is active thinking, into alpha and theta, which are the gateways to sleep.
Is that like meditation?
It's similar, but more focused on physical relaxation. There are plenty of 10-minute versions online. You can listen to the audio with the screen off, obviously, and it helps clear the cache of your brain before you close your eyes.
Clear the cache? You really can't help the tech analogies, can you, Herman Bobbleberry?
Guilty as charged. But hey, if it helps our housemate get more than 6 hours of sleep, I'll use whatever analogy it takes. He's much easier to live with when he's well rested.
Truth. All right, I think we've given him plenty to chew on. From the biology of IPARGC cells to the 10-3-2-1-0 rule, it's about the environment, the hardware, and most importantly, the habits.
Exactly. Tech can mitigate the problem, but only you can solve the behavior.
Well said. And hey, to everyone listening, if you found these deep dives into the weird prompts of daily life helpful, we'd really appreciate a review. Whether you're on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, a quick rating helps other curious minds find us. We've been doing this for over 225 episodes now, and your support is what keeps Herman's donkey-level energy going.
Hey, I resemble that remark. But yes, please do leave a review, and check out our website at myweirdprompts.com if you want to see the show notes or send us a prompt of your own.
Thanks for joining us in the house today. This has been My Weird Prompts. We'll see you in the next one.
Sleep well, everyone, or, you know, work efficiently if it's morning. See ya.
This episode was generated using Gemini Flash 3. Text-to-speech engine was Chatterbox Turbo.
Thanks for listening to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring Daniel Rosehill's AI prompts, as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters including me, Cornelius the Sloth. Subscribe on Spotify or visit myweirdprompts.com.